it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. We've been talking about the top story today. There is a massive gambling scandal, scheme, however you want to put it, in the NBA. Here is the U.S. attorney talking about it.
Players altered their performance or took themselves out of games to make sure that those bets paid out. One example occurred on March 23rd, 2023 in Charlotte. Terry Rozier, an NBA player now with the Miami Heat, but at the time playing for the Hornets, allegedly let others close to him know that he planned to leave the game early with a supposed injury. Using that information, members of the group placed more than $200,000 in wagers on his under statistics. Rozier exited the game after just 9 minutes, and those bets paid out, generating tens of thousands of dollars in profit. The proceeds were later delivered to his home, where the group counted their cash. As the NBA season tips off, his career is already benched, not for injury, but for integrity.
How long do you think she practiced that bar? Because she had that bar locked and loaded, ready to go. She's been working on that for a couple of weeks. You didn't just come up with that one on the fly. No, you had your speech writers really cook you up something right there. That's some incredible dialogue right there. That is high-level stuff. So Terry Rozier, I think he's going away. I think Chauncey Billups is going away. I think these people are going to jail. I think they are going to Jonte Porter jail is where I think they are going. We found that out later today. Coming up in a little bit, we'll play our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. Two things until we do that. The first thing is Andy Reid gave an update on Joshua Simmons. You know what? He had a different tone today when talking about it.
Update for you with Josh would just be, you know, there's communication. I'm not going to get into all of it. Everything's positive. It's not a negative situation. So he's taking care of family.
That is Andy Reid earlier today talking about Joshua Simmons. The why isn't as important to me at this stage when it comes to Josh Simmons. And I want to be clear. At this point, we are talking about whenever you decide to come back, if it's a family issue, a personal issue, whatever it is, at this point, I honestly don't really care. But what I do care about is, are you planning on coming back this season? How do we potentially get you back on the field if that's the case? He is not there today, so he is not going to practice today. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks. We will have talked about him missing potentially 3 games. This is a little bit different than the Rashee Rice situation. Rashee Rice has been in the building, in the facility, practicing, running, doing all of those things, and under team supervision. That's not what we're talking about right now when it comes to Joshua Simmons. This is a little bit different. This is kind of unprecedented. We've never really been in this position before or had these conversations. So at this point, it's when does he plan on coming back? What is the plan to get him back on the field? And is there a length of time in which he just can't come back from the playing standpoint. Being around the team, practicing, getting that support that you need, absolutely. I think that's very important at this time. But if we're talking about this being a 4, 5, 6 game possible absence for Joshua Simmons, how do you put him back on the field? How do you get him back ready to go? And do you take Jalen Moore off the field when Jalen Moore has been playing very, very well so far, been solid, been a rock for you guys? That's the next phase of this conversation, and it comes to question. So I'm happy that they're having conversations. I'm happy that there's dialogue. He certainly doesn't sound nearly as agitated about it when it comes to Joshua Simmons. But right now, I think we got to talk about the football component of things and what does it look like for him as a football player the rest of the season? That's obviously very much up in the air.
I am very happy to hear that the Chiefs are now saying, maybe they've always been in, but they're now saying they're in communication with Josh Simmons. I think that is obviously a positive step because that would imply the Chiefs have some sort of framework, context, clue, whatever word you want to use as to when he will return. But for the football part, I think the when he will return becomes fascinating. So I remember we talked about this 2 weeks ago when he at that point missed one game and we asked, hey, how, like, when he comes back, is he the automatic starter? And I floated out that maybe he'd miss more than 1-2 games. It could be 3, 4, 5 games. Text line pushed back. There's no way that's possible. He is more likely than not going to miss a third game this weekend. I know it's Monday, but he's going to miss a third game.
I don't even think that's a pushback. He's not in Kansas City right now. He's not practicing right now. So that's a certainty he is going to miss this game.
And I would bet that he probably misses a fourth game. So now the question becomes, are the Chiefs going to do something with his roster spot? Because they're now saying they've been in communication with him. If he's telling the Chiefs, hey, whatever the thing is, we do not know what the thing is, and you're right, I don't care what the thing is. Whatever the thing is, I think it's going to take another 3-4 weeks. Should the Chiefs be opening up a roster spot by putting him on the IR? Should they be putting him on the non-football injury list? Like, what the communication between the Chiefs and Simmons is important because, in theory, now one of those two parties has an idea as to how long he will be gone, and the Chiefs, from a football standpoint, purely football, need to know that so they can then react accordingly, because right now they are carrying a 52-man roster when they should be carrying 53, and we don't know the deal with player 53. If you do something, you can add a backup tackle or do some roster manipulation. Like, I hope the Chiefs' communication ends with, we have an idea of what his timeline is, and then they communicate that timeline to us soon, because right now he's just missing practice every week and being TBD, we don't know when he's going to get back, is not great for the football part of this.
Yeah, I guess at least my question to them would be this, because I'm maybe not as worried about the timeline at this point. Like, I've just kind of accepted it is what it is. Someone just sent this in. CDOT, do we have a problem at left tackle? Because it looks good to me. Why are we tripping? I guess this would be my question. Right now, everything is good, but if there is any team in the National Football League that knows how quickly things can go from good at tackle to not good at tackle, it would be the Chiefs. What is the plan if something changes? Right now, I'm with you. I don't think the Chiefs need Josh Simmons to come back. So if he's not here for Monday night, fine. If he's not there for the Buffalo game, he's perfectly fine. What happens if an injury happens? That's a legitimate question. They are currently using their spare tire. What happens if you get a hole in your spare tire? What do you do then? I think that's one of the questions that Kansas City has to ask. Now, again, I don't think that's an immediate issue, but it's football, right? Like, football things happen. Guy gets rolled up on. Like, you had 2 left tackles. You currently have 1 left tackle. The left tackle now is holding up very fine. What if that's not the case in the middle of the game? What is the plan B in that scenario? So we obviously got to see how this plays itself out. But I think it's very important to note that Andy seems much more positive about this than he has. And just an update. Hey, we're talking to him. We're communicating. He's taking care of family. Cool. That's perfectly fine. When is he coming back? What is the plan when he gets back? Does he still have his starting left tackle job? And the fact that I think we can at least at this point just say, I don't know, man. I don't know if he has his job right now or not. If Jalen Moore goes out there, balls out for Monday Night Football, balls out in the Buffalo game, are you 100% giving him his job back on the road against Denver when you haven't been around for the last 4 or 5 weeks? I don't know if that's the case, if what's going to happen with Josh Simmons.
I can only speak for me. Can't speak for Andy Heck. Can't speak for Andy Reid, Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes, anywhere over there. If he's going to miss the Commanders game and the Bills game, and we're pretty confident he's missing the Commanders game, we'll see on the Bills game. If he then returns to the team after the bye, he's not the left tackle starter in my mind. Jalen Moore has, right, wrong, or indifferent for how it got taken, taking that job for you. Their offense has looked the best recently, and Jalen Moore has been the left tackle. We can't be, you know, it's a Simmons here, then it's no Moore, then back to Simmons. That's not a position where I want, you know, the spin the wheel and who we pick. They have
basically what they did last year.
And it, we saw how that ended last year. Now, I think that both options this year are better than last 100%. Year's options. Like, I don't think it's spinning the wheel between a 73 on Madden and a 91 on Madden. I think it's both good players, but offensive line play, you talk to a Mitchell Schwartz, you talk to a Jeff Schwartz, continuity is key. I don't know if he can miss 3-4 weeks on top of what he's missed, and he has earned his job back, no doubt. I think it's Jalen Moore's job now to lose, and we'll reevaluate the whole situation in February and March, who's left and right tackle next year.
Yeah, someone on the text line says he shouldn't get his job back if he misses a month. At this point, I think that is now unavoidable when it comes to him. I think it is unavoidable for that to be the case. Someone on the text line says, what if they trade Jawan Taylor? There's no reason to think they are trading Jawan Taylor in the next 11 days. The trade deadline is November 4th. You think they're trading Jawan Taylor in the next 10 days? There's no scenario I see that happening either. This is their situation, at least in the meantime. Now, you're happy that you have that spare tire, to continue the analogy, that you got Jalen Moore. You can plug him in at left tackle, and you haven't really noticed a difference in all of this. But this is a position group that we didn't really expect to have many conversations about, because you sort of loaded up at the position, and that depth is being tested in obviously a very different and unique kind of way. We usually are joined on Wednesdays by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, but this week it's a little bit different.
He's QB1.
And at quarterback from Texas Tech, number 15, Patrick Mahomes.
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
Mahomes moving to his left laterally, chased, holding it, and gets out of bounds and up the sideline. He's not out of bounds yet. He's at the 10, inside the 10. He dives for the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. A remarkable acrobatic scramble on a 27-yard run. Maybe the best play yet.
Two-time MVP and three-time Super Bowl MVP.
Patrick Mahomes with Mahomes magic. Starting left, peeling right. Three drives, three touchdowns for the Chiefs.
And you can hear him right here every week with CDOT, exclusively on your home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan. Here's Patrick Mahomes.
Earlier today, I got a chance to catch up with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance on the show was brought to you by our friends over at Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly. Visit TellyTire.com today. We are happy right now to be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joins us on the show today. Patrick, man, happy to have you back on the show.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you having me always.
Absolutely, man. Let's just start with this, something that you look forward to every year. You guys had your 15 Emma Homies Gala. You guys raised $1.5 million. How proud are you of what you guys have been able to build while you've been here in Kansas City?
No, I'm extremely proud. You know, I started this thing with a vision of it, but it's exceeded my vision. I mean, the fact that Kansas City and all the communities I grew up in have really just embraced it and made this thing even more than I could imagine, it's special. And so it's awesome to see all the things that are happening, because obviously I'm trying to be at as many events as I possibly can be, but I can't be at all of them. And to see how many lives it impacts is always special.
That's what I was just going to ask you. I mean, it has to be a very rewarding feeling. It's not just your teammates. It's celebrities. It's people in the community. Like, this is something that people have really rallied around to support a cause that you feel so passionate in.
100%, and I mean, you said it. It's like it's everybody. It's not just, it says 15 of the homies, but it's the whole Kansas City community that's really just helped this thing go and helped make so many great impacts on so many kids' lives. And it's something that I can be proud of more than on the field, but something that I can be proud of just how the community's rallied behind just each other and made each other a better people and a better place.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick. Let's go back a little bit to the game on Sunday. I mean, everything was working for you guys offensively, those first three drives. What's it like to be in a zone like that, not just on a personal level, but the offense as a whole?
Yeah, it's really fun. I mean, be able to go out there and execute at the level that you want to. I mean, that's what we've been striving for, is to be that good every single drive. And we were able to do that. You know, there was stuff we learned from on the tape and stuff like that. But I thought guys really did a great job of doing their job to the best of their ability and executing at a high level. And when everybody executes, man, we can go out there and have a ton of success.
We talked a lot about you getting back all three of your receivers at one time with Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown. You got them all on the field at the same time. That's not to discredit Tyquan Thornton or Juju or any of the other guys who have had major contributions. But how fun was it to have all those guys available at one time?
Yeah, I mean, you see what we've worked for all off season and the last two seasons, really, and how guys have made themselves better and better and ready for that moment, you know, and it keeps the defense guessing. I mean, obviously, you have those main guys on Hollywood and Rashee and Xavier, but you get guys like Tyquan and Juju and all these guys that get to rotate in, and they make their impact on the game. And so you see that at every single position, the tight ends, the running backs, the receivers, everybody is coming in ready to go, ready to play, and it's showcasing on Sundays with a lot of success.
Let's focus in on Rashee. It's his first game back, first game in a while. It felt like you guys really made a concerted effort to try to get him the ball on the first drive. He had a phenomenal day. What did you see from him on film? How were you excited to see his role expand in the offense?
Yeah, I think you just saw a progression of where he was at last year. You know, obviously the suspension, but the injury as well. You want guys to come back healthy and ready to go. But he did a great job this offseason of working his tail off to get himself back to 100%. And I mean, he showcased that in this first game. And now it's about building, you know, him within the game plan and building up the right way. I mean, he hasn't had a lot of snaps in over a year, so you don't want to push too much. But at the same time, man, it's a special football player you want on the football field.
Can you answer this question for me? Where did this tortilla thing come from? Because I don't remember this back in, like, the Michael Crabtree, Graham Harrell days. Where did this tradition come from?
I mean, it was going on then for sure. I mean, it's been going on for, like, 30, 40 years. And there's a couple of, like, myths and stories about how it started, but it happened while I was there. I said to a couple people, man, no one cared about the tortillas when we weren't winning. But now that we're winning, everybody cares about them. So we had to stop them. But it's one of the traditions I loved about Texas Tech and how much the fans care no matter what the score is and want to be a part of it. But they'll find a way, another way now to show their support. And I just know that they'll be there for us week in and week out. And I'm excited for the rest of the season.
I'm not counting your pockets, Patrick, but you got a water endorsement. You got glasses. You got State Farm insurance. You don't have a tortilla endorsement at this point?
No, I don't, you know, but I'm sad to see that we're not able to do it anymore. It's just part of the tradition of Texas Tech. I don't know how it became such a, like, a controversial thing, but the tortillas, I guess, got a little too scary for the opponents at the Red Raider Stadium.
Whenever you get tacos, are you going soft shell or hard shell?
I'm soft shell. I like them both, though. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you get those, like, I think they're called the Gordito Crunches from Taco Bell. I don't eat a lot of Taco Bell these days, but you get that soft shell with the hard shell underneath it. I love Mexican food, Tex-Mex especially.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs for a couple of more minutes. Patrick, the last time you were on, I asked you about Sunday Night Football in your first game. I just looked this up because I completely forgot. Your first four Monday night games were all on the road. Your first Monday night football game at Arrowhead was actually supposed to be a Sunday game. They got moved because of COVID. You guys played the Patriots. I completely forgotten about this until I Googled it like an hour ago.
Yeah, and I appreciate that Monday game was, I don't know if it was really like night. It was like 5 o'clock or something like that. But no, yeah, I played a lot of these big games on the road. I feel like I get a lot of the Sunday night games at home, but the Monday night's on the road. But I'm excited to play one at Arrowhead, man. I mean, it is special playing on Monday Night Football because you're the only show in town, at least this week. And so you get to have the primetime game. Everybody watches Monday Night Football growing up. You get to go out there and enjoy with your teammates, man. So I'm excited to do it at Arrowhead.
One of these days, Bronze is going to, like, see your highlights, and he's going to ask you questions about the 2020 season, and you're going to have a hell of a time trying to explain to him that you played games in front of zero people.
Yeah, no, I mean, that was like a crazy situation. At least at Arrowhead, we had like a couple thousand, and you could feel the energy. I mean, so I'm playing at some of the away stadiums, and there was literally no music, no sound, no anything. It was an eerie feeling.
You guys have Sunday free. Obviously, you're going to be around the team. Like, what is your plan for Sunday? What is your plan for the weekend with you guys having a home Monday night game?
It's honestly pretty cool because you get to watch the games with the guys. You know, like you come in, do your mock game, your walkthroughs, and then you go home for a little bit, get a little bit of rest, and pack up, and then you go to the hotel, and you're watching some of those ending of those late games, and then you go into the what's called the Sunday night football game, which will be a good one. I think it's Green Bay and the Steelers and Aaron going back home. So you get to watch those games with your teammates, man. That's some of the best memories. You know, you make a lot of memories on the football field, but getting into those meals when you're just with your guys and you're getting to watch football, it's just like anybody else when you're watching football at home. So, I mean, those are some of the best memories that you have throughout your career.
Do you watch just a single game, or are you a red zone guy? Because I love red zone. There's just something special at noon. I get all the games. They're bouncing around the league. Do you like to watch red zone or just one game?
When I got the new house in Kansas City, I got it to where you can, like, get multiple screens, you know? And so that was, like, one of the main things. Like, I didn't ask for a lot. I let Brittany do most of it, but I was, like, the living room TV and then, like, the game room, I want to be able to split the screens up. And so usually I keep to, like, one main game that I like to watch that I'm interested in, but I keep red zone in the bottom corner, and so you can kind of keep see the highlights that are going around the league.
I got a couple more questions for you, and we'll get you out of here. The first thing, Halloween is right around the corner. Do you have your Halloween costume, your plans all figured out?
I do. It's a surprise, though, but we have the whole family. We're ready to go, and it was Bronze's idea. I'll give you a little bit of a hint.
Okay, all right, then. I'm excited for you to be Buzz Lightyear or something here coming up in a couple of days. When it comes to Halloween, where are you at Scary Movies? Do you like scary movies? Do you have a favorite franchise?
I've never been a scary movie guy. Like, I'm not I was scared as a kid of them, and now it's like, I'm not a big fan of them. Like, if it's on TV and everybody's watching it, I'll watch it. But I'm like kind of closing your ears, you know? Can't the noises and stuff get me? So I'm not a big scary movie guy.
Okay, so I was going to ask you if you like haunted houses. People were making fun of me a couple of days ago when I said, why would I pay $30 to be scared? It just doesn't really make any sense to me. It sounds like you also are not a haunted house guy.
I've literally had that exact argument with Brittany and everybody every single year. It's like, why am I wanting to go somewhere where I'm just scared the entire time? Or I'm kind of like just fidgety. I'm not scared anymore because I'm a little older, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't want people trying to scare me for whatever it is, 10, 15 minutes, so why am I going to wait in line and go to one of these things?
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense. And then people are like, oh, well, you know, at the end, you got to jump out of a window. And I'm like, I'm not trying to jump out of a window. Why would I want to do this activity?
Oh, no, 100%. And I've done the ones in Kansas City, all the main ones, and, I mean, they are awesome. They're cool, but it's just not a thing for me. But I understand people do love them.
We have the World Series here coming up. I've never really got a chance to ask you about Shohei Ohtani. You're a fan of sports. You like basketball, football, baseball, all of these things. Have you ever seen anything like what Shohei did a couple of days ago?
I haven't. I mean, not since, like, Little League Baseball or T-ball or something like that. I mean, it's like I told someone, I was like, man, if I'd have done this as a kid and like go Little League, it would have been impressive. But for him to do it against the best of the best in the world, and to be able to throw 100 with a nasty splitter on the mound and strike out 10 and then go out there and hit, it wasn't that he just hit three home runs. I mean, he hit three home runs that mattered. I mean, like every one of those mattered to get him to the next round and get him to the World Series, man. He's a special talent, and I mean, he'll go down as one of the best baseball players, if not the best baseball player of all time.
Tomorrow for a day, if you could switch abilities with either Steph Curry or Shohei Ohtani, which one would you be?
I'd be Steph, man. I mean, I feel like I could shoot a little bit, but being able to shoot like that, and then like, can I get his golf game as well? That'd probably give me the added boost for it.
That's the one thing that trips me out about Steph is like everybody has shot a basketball at some point. We all just acknowledge this person is the best ever at shooting a basketball.
100%. And I mean, like, seeing it in person, I mean, he beat my Mavs in the Western Conference Finals a couple years back, and it was like watching him when he gets going and he's shooting, he's not looking at the goal. I mean, that's fun to watch.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, joining us on the show today. They got Monday Night Football coming up against the Washington Commanders. Pat, good luck this week, my man. We'll catch up with you later.
Yeah, appreciate you.
That was our conversation with the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. His appearance each week on the show is brought to you by our friends at Telly Tire and Auto Centers. Winning starts with a great drive. Since 1942, Telly Certified Techs have delivered complete car care with top brand tires and expert auto service. Keep your drive going. Take it to Telly, Visit TellyTire.com today. Rob, are you a soft taco or a hard taco individual? Are we counting soft tacos as a little bit different than like traditional street tacos? Because I really like those. Those are my favorite. But I don't know if I think of those as soft tacos in the same way that I would like if they came from Taco Bell or something. Or if you ordered them from like a restaurant.
I think a street taco is a separate entity.
I agree. I was just curious what you thought.
So I prefer hard unless it's a street street taco as well. I just think about the crunch of a hard shell taco. I just enjoy. Like if we were at, you know, Manny's or Ponax on the Boulevard, I would probably get hard shell tacos over soft shell tacos.
I would love to know the answer to this, and I honestly don't know the answer. I'm sure the text line is going to answer this. What makes a soft shell taco different than a burrito? Is it just that you enclose it and wrap it up? Like, are we talking about different insides? Like one has rice, one has beans. What's the difference between a soft shell taco and a burrito? Do you know the difference?
I actually don't. My guess would be the enclosure.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. That's it. That's the only thing that makes it different because the tortilla, a lot of times, ends up being the exact same.
And actually, it must be more than the enclosure because, like, an enchilada is enclosed, and an enchilada and a burrito are different. So there's got to be something to the ingredients. That's my guess here.
Yeah, I have absolutely no clue. I don't know the answer to that question. I would love to have someone answer the question. Coming up on the other side, yesterday when I was talking to Binkley, before Binkley left, Binkley said, I want the Chiefs to pay Rashee Rice at the end of the season. I wish we had more time to talk about it yesterday. We can talk about it right now. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so yesterday as Binkley was leaving, I was thanking Binkley, hey, man, I appreciate you coming in studio, man. It's always fun to talk to, you know, that kind of stuff. And as Binkley was leaving, he says, I wish the Chiefs would pay Rashee Rice at the end of the season. And we had a small conversation about it. And I wrote it down as a mental note. And I'm like, you know what? We should talk about that tomorrow. Now, I understand the value of trying to be ahead of some of these contracts. I really do. And I feel like right now, whenever we talk about Rashee Rice, because I don't think he's better than Amon-Ra St. Brown, somehow I have been painted as I'm down on Rashee Rice. When I assure you, I'm not down on Rashee Rice. But I don't really understand more than the saving money part of it, which I understand that's a valuable part of the salary cap. I get all of that. I don't really understand the why you should be in a rush to do it. In 2024, he got into a very serious felony car accident. He also had a significant knee injury, and he missed part of 2025 and a large majority of 2024 because of said injury and or car accident. I just don't really understand what the rush to pay him is. Let's say that he has a good rest of the season, right? Let's say he has a good rest of the season. I think he'll have a good rest of the season. You guys think he'll have a good rest of the season. So I'm not trying to play a devil's advocate here, but we don't want to see a healthy 17-week, 1,100 yards, 7 touchdown, because this is just me theorizing and hypothesizing. The last time that he had an offseason with no injuries, healthy, celebrating things. That's when he got himself into trouble. You know what I don't want this offseason? Rashee Rice has a good second half of the season. He's feeling good about himself. He's back at home in Dallas. He's around his people. And you give Rashee Rice $60 million guaranteed. That just doesn't sound like the right thing to be doing right now. That's not what I would be super interested in doing. Let's just play this thing out a little bit. Let's play it out a little bit. You're not in a rush for anything. You still got one more year after this. You also have the franchise tag after this. Use a little bit of your leverage. Hey, man, you ain't been acting right. You got hurt. I know that's not your fault, but we all know that these teams are using injuries against guys as reasons why they don't want to pay them. You got some leverage to push back a little bit when it comes to these things. I'm not in a rush to pay Rashee Rice. There is almost no scenario in which I'd be willing to pay Rashee Rice at the end of the season. None. I'm just not interested in it right now. I'm happy to have this conversation with you down the line, but I'm not ready to have that conversation right now. Hey, you go out in year four in a contract year. You put up a 1,300-yard season. We put the franchise tag on you. We're having a conversation about what we want to do. Sure, I'm happy to pay you in that scenario, but I don't know when we started having these conversations where we wanted to give guys all of this money guaranteed before they really earn it on the field. And I don't feel like Rashee Rice has earned a contract extension on or off the field yet, where I'm feel comfortable locking in that much money yet.
Me and you see this the same way, which is funny because I'm usually team get ahead of it, get a guy signed long term, those sorts of things. But for me, it's not just what you said. And I agree with a large amount of your sentiments. For me, it's, you have bigger contracts on the horizon that I think are more important than Rashee Rice. You need to get Trent McDuffie done. It needs to be, you know, priority 1, 2, and 3 this offseason. Trent McDuffie locked in long term. That has got to be a top of the priority list type of decision for the Kansas City Chiefs. So if that means that Rashee Rice has to wait another year, I'm fine making him wait another year. I would probably one day extend him. It should not be this offseason. It should not be a year ahead. I'm with you. I want to see more. He was good his rookie year. He started great his second year. His second year then ended with injury. He has looked good in his one game this season. But let's let this season play out before we decide that he's a stud number one and got to earn a massive contract. I'm with you there. But I'm not pushing Rashee Rice to the top of the list when Trent McDuffie is a better player and needs a contract first. So for me, it's not just everything you said. It's the timeline, and McDuffie's got to get his, because if you don't pay McDuffie, what are we doing here? Your defense looks astronomically different, especially considering eventually you're going to move away from Chris Jones and move away from Nick Bolton. He's the pillar of your next wave defensively. I think the timeline on getting these things done is why I would wait in offseason.
Yeah, and I'm just sitting here and I'm reading it. Someone says we lose the leverage if we don't sign now, and he goes ham over the next year and a half. I guess in some of these, then, that's fine. Like, some of these, I'm willing to roll the dice and see you do it before I commit the money to you. And I'm fine with that in that scenario. He hasn't had a 1,000-yard season. He also hasn't been healthy in 18 months. So I'm perfectly fine with, right now, I don't feel comfortable giving him a Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase contract at this point. Or Amon-Ra St. Brown, who just got $30 million guaranteed. I'm also seeing a lot of people that are saying, well, now's the time to get him on the cheap. I don't even know what the cheap is anymore when it comes to pretty productive wide receiver. Like Cortland Sutton, who I think is a fine wide receiver, Cortland Sutton just signed for $23 million a year. If you're Rashee Rice and you're his agent, would you take $23 million a year right now? I don't think I would take that contract if I'm there. So, like, if I'm him, I'm kind of willing to roll the dice and see what my market looks like on the other side. And if I'm the Chiefs, I'm also just, hey, go prove it on the field. Go put together one of these seasons. Go have a big year, and then we'll pay you on the back half. I don't understand the rush. The salary cap continues to explode. You've got the franchise tag, so you're never worried about him walking away. You're not worried about him leaving in that scenario. Like, you've got club control of Rashee Rice for, at a minute, if you want, right? If you want 3 more seasons, You can, he plays this year, so this year, next year, and then you got two franchise tags. So we're talking 3.5 seasons. I'm not running to pay Rashee Rice the moment that I can. I'm just playing it out a little bit longer.
I also think, and this is a common sentiment on the text line, well, if you don't get it done now, you lose all your leverage. Are we to assume that his agent doesn't know that? Let's just play it out. I assume if I'm Brett Veach and you call, I don't know who his agent is. Drew Rosenhaus, I don't know who his agent is. You call his agent and say, let's talk extension now. If I'm Rashee Rice's agent, I say, no, talk to me in a year. Because I know what the wide receiver market looks like, and I know that wide receiver market is on the up and up. I'm not taking 80 cents on the dollar a year early. I think this notion that, you can just get him on the cheap, I don't know his agent's going to sign up for him on the cheap because he still has time left on his initial contract.
Yeah, and I guess, and I'm seeing a lot of people that say the same thing. Hey, I want to sign him before this. I'm asking you right now, do you trust Rashee Rice enough to give him $60 million guaranteed? That's what we're talking about. Like, if you're talking about whatever you consider the cheap is, Jameson Williams' contract, right? Jameson Williams, a couple months ago, he got paid 3 years, $80 million, and $66 million guaranteed. You guys feel comfortable giving that contract to Rashee Rice right now? I just don't. If you feel comfortable giving Rashee Rice that deal and it's hypothetical, then we're just on different sides of the argument. I don't feel comfortable enough to give Rashee Rice $66 million guaranteed right now. I don't know why I need to give it to him right now. I have no clue why I need to give it to him right now. I'm open to giving it to him at some point, but I would say that's what a contract for Rashee Rice looks like right now. If you offer him this at the end of the season, I'm not giving you much more than what Jameson Williams got. I don't think you've done more in the league than what Jameson Williams has done so far. Like, I'm looking at his stats so far. Maybe you think he's better than him. That's perfectly fine. Jameson Williams last year had 58 catches for 1,000 yards. So they're about the same at this point. Jameson Williams' contract's a fair deal. He's the 14th highest paid receiver in the National Football League. So I would say that's the low end, too. I would say that Jameson also, you got him a little bit on the cheap, and if he had played this thing out a little bit more, he probably could have got more guaranteed money. I'm not giving Rashee Rice 3 years, $80 million, $66 million guaranteed at the end of the season. I'm not doing that.
And to my point, I don't know his agent is using that as like the one for one. He might be using Jameson Williams as the baseline. Because if Rashee Rice is the player everyone on the text line says he is, why would he take less than Jameson Williams? So I just don't think this deal is like, oh, they're going to get it on the cheap. Let's do it right now. I don't know the wide receiver contracts ever in the NFL are on the cheap, unless it's like a Juju or a Hollywood Brown. A guy in his prime, I don't think a cheap contract for that player exists anymore.
Yeah, and if someone says, so you like playing top dollar for everybody. No, I don't want to pay top dollar for everybody. I just don't want to give everybody top dollar before they get there. I'm not anti-big contract. I was saying all last offseason I would have paid Trent McDuffie. I think Trent McDuffie has owned it, or has earned it. I don't think Rashee Rice has earned a second contract at this point. Rashee Rice has played in less than 25 games. I just don't think he's earned a second contract yet. So my point is, let's just let him earn the contract, and then we can sit down at the table and we can negotiate. There's not a big gap between you being the 14th highest paid receiver and a top eight receiver. It's literally $4 million in money. Jameson Williams is the 14th highest paid. Amon-Ra St. Brown's the eighth highest paid. Then the gap from 8 to 1 is $10 million. So, like, I'm willing to spend the extra $4 million on a year on the back half just for good behavior and see how you handle this thing. He ain't even went to jail yet with this thing. Like, let's slow down a little bit when it comes to this. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5. The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a really interesting conversation. A lot of people, I would say, are pretty split on the text line about what they want to do. So Binkley, yesterday when he was in studio, he said that he would pay Rashee Rice right now. I don't really see a sense of urgency in paying Rashee Rice right now. I would just let the rookie contract play itself out a little bit more and just kind of see how things go, see how healthy he is, see if he has a big year, see if he stays out of trouble. I would just let the rookie year play itself out. You still got the franchise tag. You can still negotiate based off of that. I would just let it play itself out a little bit more. So I would say, I think the low end is Jameson Williams' contract. I think at the end of the season, if you were interested in paying Rashee Rice long-term, I would say it's Jameson Williams' deal. I would say it's 3 years, $80 million. A lot of people on the text line are saying that's just way too low for what we're talking about. I mean, that's the 14th best wide receiver contract in the National Football League. Okay, if you think that's a little bit too low then, are we starting the conversation at Amara St. Brown? Amara St. Brown makes $30 million. He signed last year, he signed a four-year, $120 million deal for $77 million guaranteed. You want the Chiefs to give this contract to Rashee Rice at the end of this upcoming season? Because I just don't. I'm just on the opposite side of that. I would just say no. I would say that you can always get him to agree to that deal. With the franchise tag, all of those things, you can always sign Rashee Rice to 4 years, $120 million, and $77 million guaranteed. I don't think you need to be in a rush to do that deal.
I also, and this is where me and the text line disagree, and I agree with you. I feel like the text line, I think because of Tyreek Hill, the text line believes that you can get wide receivers on the cheap if they have off-field issues. I think the Tyreek Hill situation is an outlier. Like Jameson Williams, now his off-the-field issue was different, but if you'll remember, he got in trouble and got suspended six games for gambling on football games, albeit not the NFL. So he did miss time, and his contract was not changed at all. I think Chiefs fans have looked at Tyreek Hill as the norm. Hey, we got this guy who had off-the-field issues. We got him on the cheap. What a win. Where I think what happened with Tyreek Hill and that contract is an outlier, and in reality, players are more likely to, despite off-the-field issues, take every penny of their worth. So I just think even if you do this offseason, yes, it'll be cheaper this offseason than next, assuming he stays healthy, but I don't believe it's ever going to be cheap, which would mean the text line just disagrees.
Yeah, I guess I also think that I think the prices you were going off of in 2019 are just not anywhere close to the prices that exist in 2025. Do you remember what that extension was for Tyreek Hill?
It was like 3 for $60 or something.
It was
right?
3 for $54 Oof. Is what it was. It was 3 for $54. I mean, that's not even close what we've seen. Like, what the Chiefs paid Tyreek Hill back then is what it is to sign Christian Kirk to a contract right now. Like, that's what it is to sign Jerry Jeudy now at this point. So I'm saying is in basically 5 years, 6 years, you have seen that market almost double with wide receivers, where at that point you could argue that Tyreek Hill was the best receiver in the league, certainly on the short list for best receiver in the league. You ain't getting the best receiver in the league for cheap anymore. Like, regardless of what you think is happening off the field, that guy, it just costs money now. Like, you have seen a boom when it comes to that position and how much guys are now potentially getting paid. Now you're seeing a guy who already received a second contract. When it came to a guy like Terry McLaurin, remember, Terry McLaurin is on his third contract with the team. He was unhappy in the middle of his second deal and wanted a raise and eventually got it from a team. So I just think the market we're talking about with wide receiver in 2025, it's just drastically different than the market in 2019 for wide receiver, because we've seen that position explode in contracts since then.
And I will reiterate what I said earlier. If they extend Rashee Rice ahead of Trent McDuffie, I think that's a mistake. I think Trent McDuffie is more important to this team than Rashee Rice. And that's not a knock to Rashee Rice. I think Trent McDuffie has become one of the three most important Chiefs that they have. And that includes Patrick Mahomes, I think, is one. Like, if Rashee Rice skips the line, so to speak, and gets ahead of Trent McDuffie, I think that's a mistake by the team. So I'm cool with one day giving Rice a contract. I'm just not doing it now. I don't think it's ever going to be cheap, and I'm not doing it ahead of Trent McDuffie's deal.
One player I'd be interested in signing for next season, I'd be interested in signing Tyquan Thornton and bringing Tyquan Thornton back. Like, if you're telling me right now that the Chiefs have to do a wide receiver deal at the end of the season, I would pay Tyquan Thornton. Like, I'm sitting here and I'm looking at the wide receiver numbers and where I think is kind of comparable to what it is to pay him. Maybe it's like Darius Slayton. Like, would I sign him to the Darius Slayton contract around $12 million a year? I think he's kind of earned that this season. Darius Slayton is a little bit older than Tyquan Thornton, but I think there's a team that's actually going to pay Tyquan Thornton at the end of the season. I think he's been – I think he's proven himself to be a valuable third or fourth option, and if he stays healthy this year and is a free agent, somebody's going to pay him this offseason. Maybe the Chiefs are willing to let him walk away and he goes off and he finds his Juju Smith-Schuster deal, but I think if you're trying to find that second contract, like what if somebody like Trey Tucker potentially get? Like that's kind of the market that I think that Tyquan's eventually going to be in at the end of the season.
I would not.
Trey Tucker's still on his rookie contract, so my bad.
I would not pay Tyquan Thornton. I feel like you can recreate Tyquan Thornton. Now, next year, you're going to have no Hollywood Brown, so maybe that changes the calculus a little
bit. Juju's also a free agent.
Juju's also a free agent, so maybe that changes the calculus a little bit. But I feel like guys like Tyquan Thornton are a win because you found them at no money, you got the most out of them, and then when they go sign that, and it's not going to be a massive contract, when they go sign that Juju contract with the Patriots, and they do that, you won. You got the most out of the player, you got the most value out of the player, you got him in his cheapest deal, and you walked away. Like, I would walk away from Tyquan Thornton at the end of the year unless you can get him at like a Justin Watson type of contract. But I don't know that exists if he has the productive season we expect.
Yeah, I'm with you. I wonder in this scenario if you're Tyquan Thornton. Now, there's always a team that could potentially overpay. Like, I don't want to completely disregard the fact that somebody could fall in love with them. They like them more than Kansas City. You just got to tip your cap that they end up signing them. Like, if you're Tyquan and the Chiefs kind of resurrected your career, like, you were almost 1 foot out of the league. The Patriots drafted you in the second round and gave up on you in the middle of your second contract. They quit on you. You then go to Kansas City. Kansas City then keeps you. They've turned you into a very productive player. And I'm not saying you're taking significantly less money, but if you're him, you maybe got one chance to kind of get a bite off of the apple and to stay in a really good situation with a number one, a number two. You can now kind of settle in as that number three option. And number three options are just getting paid in the league now. Like, those guys aren't the bargain basement. Now, maybe they plan on drafting somebody or Jalen Royals kind of turns into that role, but bringing Tyquan Thornton back at 25 years old with the kind of season that he's having, if he can be healthy and stay healthy the rest of the year, that's a contract that I'm very, very interested in. Them kind of having that second and just continuing to stockpile weapons around Patrick Mahomes. You got to think their offense is just, it's going to look different next year. We don't know what's going to happen with Travis Kelce. Right now, both of their running backs are on one-year deal. So, like, you're going to get a potentially brand-new running back next year. You're going to have a very different wide receiver room. Juju's on a one-year deal. Tyquan's on a one-year deal. Hollywood's on a one-year deal. Kelce is essentially on a one-year deal. I'm thinking about who I want to keep, and Tyquan's he's near the top of that list for me.
I just feel like you can recreate Tyquan Thornton in a variety of other ways. I also forgot you're going to have Jalen Royals. He exists on the roster at some point next season, so I'm just not in the game of re-signing that guy to a contract. So I think you can find that guy every year in free agency. The Chiefs have found that guy. He was Justin Watson. He's Tyquan Thornton. Keep finding that guy for free.
I actually think Thornton's a better player than Justin Watson
was. But you found him and got the most out of him, then you walk away from him. That's how I would handle Tyquan Thornton.
Keep it right here. You're listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. Rob showed me something that said that Thriller was the 22nd best Halloween song. I did not look at the list. Rob, let's go through this list and see who Rolling Stone has determined. They're the five best Halloween songs. We'll do that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.